Scripture this evening. We want to go to Romans chapter 12 and the third chapter 12, the third verse, and want to speak to you on a simple thought tonight of walking by faith. Walking by faith. How many knows that's what the Christian walk is? Amen. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's how we're going to please the Lord. It says, "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith."
Amen.
And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight. I ask you, Lord, you would help me to yield my flesh to you, Lord. I give it to you and ask you that you would just captivate everything about me now, that you would just use me, Lord, to speak to your people, Lord. This is the most precious thing there is in this world right now. It's your bride. Lord, it's your purchased possession, Father. Lord, help us to see ourselves that way and see one another. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. you. You can be seated. Again, I want to say thank you for the opportunity to minister to you tonight. So many times in the message, you know, we around the message, we have seen, I know throughout my life, and even before the message, you know, I would see where, you know, they'd have like a newspaper cartoon, and you would see little sketches, you know, of different things. And, you know, they'd have this thing, and they'd say, if you go to a doctor and you become a doctor of divinity, you know, and they show that you're going to walk up and you're going to see Peter, and they're going to say, well, how can you get in? Well, I'm a doctor of divinity. Oh, my, well, come on in, you know. And we look at that, we say, well, that's absolutely ridiculous, you know. And if you were to say, I'm a Catholic, or I hold to Catholicism, or I'm a Methodist, that's why I should enter in, you know. But if you're not careful, many times it can even come to the point where you believe the message. Oh, you know the quotes of Brother Branham? Oh, come on in, you know. But if it won't be that way. That's just as ridiculous of doing that way as looking at someone as a doctor of divinity, or someone that's a Catholic, a devout Catholic, or anything like that. Because it's a tendency where a person begins to depend on what they've done and what they've accomplished and through their wisdom. And, you know, Brother Brown talked and preached a message one time of wisdom versus faith. And, you know, talking about how in the Garden of Eden, of how that God told them, thou shalt do this, and if you stay away from this tree, don't partake of it, have anything to do with it. God gave a strict commandment. God always operates by faith. And when God created the earth, he spoke his word. He had faith in his own word, and that's why God manifested the word. It was by faith. Right. And whenever the serpent began to Eve to attempt his seduction upon her, he went through the avenue of wisdom, of showing how, and don't get me wrong, there is a godly wisdom, and then there's a, I'm going to call it a Satan wisdom. And that's what Brother Brenham called it also. Brother Brenham actually called it a Satan faith. And he said, well, it's not really a Satan faith. It's a Satan wisdom. Yeah. And, you know, whenever Eve made the fault and the failure of saying, you know what, I'm going to try to decipher between what's right and what's wrong. And she entered it because wisdom will always lead you into reasoning. And whenever you start getting into reasoning, you will reason into this, you'll reason into this, you'll reason into this, and you can talk yourself into anything. Just give it enough time. You talk yourself, you can allow yourself to do that, and reasoning, you will begin to let down your bar. And I'm just going to show you this real quickly. As a couple, a husband and a wife, as long as you've got that faith in one another, that love in one another, your faith in the love of one another, you're not even going to attempt to try to talk to some other man or woman. But whenever you enter into the land of reasoning and you start using wisdom of saying, well, I know my limitations. I know what I can do. There's a man, if he hears my voice on the service tonight, I'm just going to say, Lord, forgive me. I didn't say your name, but it's the truth. He said, you know, I believe I can drink because I know when I can stop. I can quit at any time. How many times people have heard someone say that? I can do it. I know my limitations. No, you don't. You know, and then someone in the same sense of the alcohol of saying, I know my limitations. I know how far I can dip into that. In the same sense, brother and sister, the enemy will use that same tactic of saying, I know the word says this, but I know my limits. I know how far I can go because I can stop at any time and you can't. I remember years ago as a little boy, we would meet, run from the school bus, and my mom and my stepdad would be in the truck. They would have it running, and they'd have the fishing poles in the back of the truck, and we would run, throw the bags on the ground by the porch, jump in the truck, and go fishing. One day we were down here at a fishing spot. My mom can't swim very well, but she wanted to get closer to the edge of this mud, and it was a river. We were catfishing. And she'd get closer and closer to that edge. And I remember my stepdad telling her, you keep getting closer to that, you're going to fall in. She says, no, I'm okay. I'm on solid ground right here. I'm okay, and I'm okay, and I'm okay. And the next thing I know, I heard, ka-thump, and she was like, Maggie! And she was sliding down this big mud pit. And it was about the funniest thing I ever saw at the time. And Maggie was laughing so hard, he couldn't even help her up the river. We just sat there and laughed at her. Well, she had mud all over. The moral of the story is she felt like she was in control.
That's right.
I'm okay. I can go a little further. I know the word says that. I know the pre- preaching says this, I know my limitations. I know what I feel in my heart. She did too. And she kept going and kept going and going. And listen to me, that devil is a patient devil. He will allow you to wait until your guard gets down, your guard gets down, your guard gets down. And once it's down, he's going to give that punch. And once he gives that punch, it's all at once. As Mike Tyson always say, forgive me for saying a worldly term, but I think it fits. He said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And he's a boxer. No, everyone's got a plan. I can handle this. I've got it controlled. But I'm here to tell you, you get punched in the mouth, all your plans go out the window. And whenever you're depending on wisdom and what you can do, you are okay until you get punched in the mouth. How many have been punched in the mouth by the devil? Sure. Absolutely blindsided. You're going through your daily life, and where in the world did that come from? Like a train wreck, something hits you. Whenever you get that terrible call, it's a punch in the mouth. You know, that's why by God's grace, help me to continue to. I don't want to ever say, if I'm in that situation, this is what I would do. Because the older I get, the more I understand, you don't know what you're going to do until you're in that situation. Because I'm going to say this thing again, and forgive me, but I believe it's the truth. Remember these words. Everybody has a plan until you get punched in the mouth. If you're in a boxing match, you can have all the strategies you want to, but once you get hit in the mouth, you change it. We know what, and as we're talking about the boxing, before we go, let us go a little further, and Brother Branham talked about the boxing, how you'd have a sparring partner, and you would have that partner, you would want a sparring partner to fight exactly like the enemy that you're going to fight, because you want to learn his tactics, and that enemy is looking at you. He is looking for your weaknesses. He is looking for you to open yourself up. He is waiting patiently, letting you hit him in the face, hit him in the face, and in your mind, oh, I'm winning this fight. He knows what you're doing. That enemy is going to let you hit him and hit him and hit him, and the whole time you're leaving your kidneys wide open, and all he's got to do is get that one hit in your kidney, and you're going down. Yeah. Everyone's got a plan until you hit in the kidneys. I'm going to change that a little bit. You know, that devil is watching. He knows our weaknesses. And every person under the sound of my voice has a weakness. And it is our duty to take the word and protect ourselves. And God, you let this word be our God, but not to depend on just wisdom. Because if we just depend on wisdom, brother and sister, you will reason yourself out of anything and into anything. Amen. Not meaning to, many find themselves doing the same things, accounting themselves worthy in this life because they believe the message. I'm going to the church. There's a lot of people that believe the message, but they don't live like it. You know, I want, Lord, help me to operate by faith. When man depends on his education only, he drives away the Spirit of God. Now, many men, God-fearing men, went into the seminary, God-fearing men. There were many men that started in the seminary. They were God-fearing men. They had a passion. They wanted to do it right. But when they got into the seminary, the teaching got them further and further away. Remember, this is a balance here. What I'm showing you here, there is a godly wisdom and there is a worldly wisdom. It's a wonderful thing to have taught because God has given teachers that can teach us in the Word and lead us out to where an evangelist can never go, teach you. But whenever you receive it in the right way, and by revelation, it gives you strength, it gives you understanding, it helps you understand who you are. But whenever you're catching it just by wisdom, you can find yourself losing that fear of God, that passion to pray, that passion to seek God, that passion to want a move of God because you're resting on, well, I know the message. Yeah. Ain't that something, how the prophet was brought back to turn the heart of the faith back to the faith of the fathers? But yet you find there's less faith than there's probably been in a long time? Mm-hmm. Is that okay to say that? But it's because if we're not careful, we can use the message in the same way where we are depending on it with our wisdom, and we are never called to do that. Right. We are called to believe the message. Brother Bill said, it's not the drinking that's the sin. It's not this that's the sin. It's not the going out and smoking a cigarette. It's the sin. It's the unbelief. People do it because they don't believe the word. Yeah. If they believed, they wouldn't do those things. In the same sense as last time I preached to you, we talked about the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Remember shouting? Told the man, he said, go in there and just pray until you shout. Then he got it. Go in there and do it until you speak in tongues. Then he got it. Do all these things. And they found out, and I didn't have it, Brother Branham. Brother Branham said, those are attributes of having it. But just having that doesn't mean you've got it. You've got to, I don't want to just have an attribute. Brother Bill talked one time about the shoes. He said, you know, I've got shoes. You got tongues in the shoes. The tongue ain't the shoe, but when you get the shoe, you get the tongues. You know. When you get the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost on the inside, the tongues come. We want to not be looking for a certain fruit, but look for Christ. We, as Brother Tony said, you know where you'll find him at is in Christ. And whenever you're in Christ, that is whenever you're a daily walk with the Lord. I'm going to show you just baby step, simple stuff, just so we get to the next building block, okay? Well, Ben talked about if you were to receive the spirit of non-diligence, you should be living the life of non-diligence.
Right.
If you receive Michelangelo, your life, this flesh should be manifesting Michelangelo. And brother and sister, if we have received Christ, if we have truly received the message of the hour into our hearts, our life should be reflecting the message of the hour. And the fruits of the Spirit will be bore through. It's so sad to see so many people that are in the message, but there's no fruit of the Spirit. They're so sad. I'm not trying to be funny, it's honest. They're sad. There's no love. They're like a little, we're fixing to go into the desert for too long. And you'll see these cactuses, and you get too close to them, and they'll stick you. And it's people that can be right in the message. If we're not careful, Lord, help me not become a cactus. Because I'm going to tell you what, you hang around a cactus very long, you leave hurt. You leave offended. You leave. I'm going to tell you something. When I fell on a cactus, I was offended. He said, amen. Now, if you didn't, you're tougher than I am. I remember I rode in a horse and I fell inside one. I didn't wear nothing but shorts back then, riding a horse, and I fell right on, probably about 7, 8 years old, maybe 9, and I fell right into that cactus, and I was offended. I'm here to tell you, Lord, help me to not be that prickly cactus where I am leaving an offense in people's lives, in their hearts, in their feelings, after they leave my presence, because I'm a sticky cactus. It don't matter how many quotes we know. It don't matter how much we go to church, brothers and sisters. It's what kind of interaction are people left with when they leave our presence. When Jesus told the disciples, you go to their house and you present the truth to them. They said, no, if they don't receive it, you knock the dust off your shoes and you go on to the next house. I believe we're his disciples. How many believes that? That means we can bring good tidings to people's houses. At least we should. Whenever we are walking this life and we've got the life of Christ, that means that whenever we go somewhere and someone is thirsting for God, they should be able to get that drink of water from us.
Amen.
Because it's the life that we're living. It's a sweet savor. It's a life inside of us. It's not us. It's him. That is Christ's ministry today, is his life living in us.
Amen.
Just as Jesus Christ did more miracles in the life of Brother Branham, it wasn't Brother Branham. It was Jesus Christ. And it will be Jesus Christ that does the work in our lives. Lord, help me allow myself, put myself in a situation where Jesus Christ can do a work through me.
Amen.
But I'm not an old cactus. Brother Tony, I pray that after our trip from our, I hope the testimony will be is, Brother Daniel wasn't a cactus. Lord, help me. How many of you has rode with your enemy? Sure. Every one of us is. And this guy right here, he likes to be a cactus. He likes to be grumpy. He don't want to be put out of his comfort zone. You put this guy out in the heat real quick, and you watch how quick he'll become a cactus.
That's right.
That's right. But you're still the son of God. That ain't changed. You just got to put yourself back in that presence again. Get back in that presence of the Lord. Say, Lord, please give me that sweet savor over me. And enter into that divine love. So we're talking about walking by faith. And walking by faith, many times people don't feel like they're walking by faith, and they are. I'm going to get to that here in just a little bit. There was a capacity of fear before they went to the seminary. Before they began to go, there was a capacity of fear, a love, and a respect for God. But it's whenever they got into just the teaching alone, that they got to the point where they were so educated that they didn't feel like they needed to seek God anymore. And that's where the message is. This is what I say. It's a balance. It's a real fine line what I'm talking about here. If we're not careful, the message is the most wonderful thing that there is in this hour. Can you say amen? The most wonderful thing. But if we're not careful, because it has all the answers, of all you can do that, we can look at the back of the book and go straight. You know, back in school, we used to have the cheat sheet in the back of the book. You didn't have to read through the chapter. You could skip to the back and you could find every other answer. Yeah, Sister Lisa knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, under the blood, sister.
Me too.
You know, you can look at that book and you could skip the chapters on the front of the processes to get the answers, and you can go to the back of the book and say, this is the answer, this is the answer, and this is the answer. And it won't be every answer, it's every other answer. And you can actually pass your test, probably with a D, but you'll pass, by just giving those letters. That's just by going by those answers. And you can skip the book. And if we're not careful with the message, we can be finding ourselves skipping to the back of the book and just writing the answer. So I know this, 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 I know this. You know all the answers, but you've never gone through any of the steps of going through of what it is to be a Christian, of a journey of being a Christian. And brother and sister, it is the journey is whenever we really gain who we are. You take a young married couple, when they're first married, they're scared. You don't know what in the world tomorrow's going to hold. It's a uncertainty. You're taking one step at a time. You're full of excitement, but there's unknown. It is the unknown. And it's whenever you are going through that time of the unknown, that is whenever it's really developing who you are as a Christian, of a family, of a husband and a wife. In Abraham's journey, God told him, Abraham, I've given you a seed, and you start walking. I'm here to tell you, Abraham did not have all the answers. Abraham had to walk in the unknown many times, and he didn't know what in the world and where in the world he was going. All he knew was, God has called me. Yeah. And that's the greatest thing that we need to, that the Lord has laid on my heart for this service and for us. I want you to please listen to these words. We have been called. And the calling in your life as a Christian is the greatest, most wonderful thing that we have in our life, is the calling. Abraham had the calling. And whenever he had the calling, he didn't know where he was going many times, but he was walking by faith and didn't even know he was. If you were to ask Abraham, are you walking by faith? He'd say, I've got a promised son that I'm going to have that's going through there. I have no idea how I'm going to get there. Abraham actually laughed whenever he spoke to him. He says, Abraham, you're going to have a son. Abraham laughed too. Sarah laughed up her sleeve. I mean, how many's read that in your Bible? Amen. Abraham in himself was called of God, but he laughed. I don't know about you, brothers and sisters. I found in myself, not meaning to, I'm going to take a body change. I'm going to make that. I'm going to do these things. You can find yourself laughing in yourself. I say, sometimes I don't feel like I'm ever going to make it. But it's not us that did it. It's the one that called Abraham. It's the one that took him and gave him what he had need of and brought the faith from his heart when he had need of it for a body change. Amen. And it will be the same way with us. Amen. It's the walking in the unknown. It's whenever you are walking by faith. Not by feelings, not by sight, not by what I hear. Walking by faith, God has called me.
Amen.
How many of you know I talk about being called?
Amen.
I talked about it the last time I spoke to you. The folklore's kind of tied these two services together from last time and this time. I talked about how a minister, and Brother Brennan talked about it, but how a minister will feel a calling in his life, and he will not be able to eat, sleep, he won't be able to do anything, because he's got to surrender to that call. And that's what it is when a Christian has a genuine call of God. God is calling your life. It is something that's deep on the inside of you. You can't get away from it until you heed to that call. You've got to just heed. You've got to heed. I remember as a young Christian, or a young man, not even a Christian yet, God was calling me, not as a minister, God was calling me as a son to come. And how was God doing it? God was calling me to a word for our hour. God was pulling me to it. God was pulling me to it. It was the call. And our call is the most valuable thing that we have in this life. Abraham had the call of God, and God told him, said, you leave everything, you go follow me, and he took Lot with him. God didn't speak to him again until he made that right. And then went back to it, and whenever they separated from Lot and their family and their herdmen, how many knows what I'm talking about in the scriptures?
Right.
He said, you go to the left, I'll go to the right. Whenever he went back, God began to speak to him again. Now listen, this is why so many times people don't feel like God is speaking to them the way I'm talking about in the calling. It's because you've disobeyed the Lord. And whenever the Lord led you and God's speaking to you, and if you don't continually walk in that light, God is not going to continue to display with you.
Amen.
You got to search and say, God, wherever I left you, that's where I want to be. And God will pick you. God didn't leave you. You left God. If you find yourself in that situation. I've seen that in my own walk. Abraham saw it in his walk. Have you seen that in your life? A time in your life whenever you know God told me to do this. God told me to take care of these things. God told me to do these things. And whenever you begin to reason, say, you know what? That stuff really don't matter. Watch your life. And you'll begin to see colder, colder, colder. Land of reasoning, land of reasoning, land of reasoning, land of reasoning. And eventually you'll say, God, forgive me. And you get right back to that, and God will hook, just like you were two buddies that never separated. My wife's got a friend from high school. We both do. Didn't see each other for years, for a long time. And then they saw each other, and it was like two peas in a pod again, big talk. Of course, they're limited because of it being a Christian experience, but you know what I'm talking about. It's like two peas in a pod. And whenever you get back to where God told me what to do about this situation,
right,
and I disobeyed, you go back to that spot where you left God. And say, Lord, you told me about that. You told me to make this right. You spoke to me to do it, but I argued with you, and I'm sorry. And you humble yourself before God. Say, Lord, I want to make this right. And there's sometimes we have to make changes in our life. There are sometimes that we have to say, you know what? I was wrong here. I got to make this right. That's one of the hardest things for a human being to say. I was wrong. It's hard, isn't it? You see somebody wrong, especially in management, you're talking to somebody, you try to say, rather than saying, you know what, I was wrong, I need to make this right, they'll begin to make excuses of why they made the decision that they made, rather than saying, you know what, I was wrong. And that's the greatest victory that we can have, is whenever you see yourself wrong, say, you know what, I was wrong. Lord, forgive me.
Amen.
And you find God will come right back down there, and he'll hitch right back to you, he'll start talking to you again.
Amen.
Amen. But that's when you're walking by faith.
Amen.
Faith is a revelation. And that's why it's wonderful to have a message. That's why the message is a wonderful thing, but it's got to be used in the right way. It's got to be used in the right light, walking under our calling as a son of God under this message. When you're walking under that calling, you've got that fire on the inside of your heart, and you're walking with God on a daily basis. You've got Lord talking to you. You're talking to the Lord. It's a fellowship in one another. And then you got the message on top of that. That's whenever you start making some movement in your life. Because if you just got the message and you ain't working with the calling, brother and sister, you're just going to church. And you'll find yourself running on a treadmill. And you ain't gained nothing in your life. If anything, you'll find yourself going backwards. We don't want to find ourselves looking towards a seminary experience of the message, but we want to find ourselves using the message what it was sent for. How smart of a devil would it be to use the very weapon that you're supposed to use you to do your greatest victories, use that very weapon against your own self and use the message? We should never allow this message to be common to us. We should never allow the voice to become common to us, because this guy will allow it to get common. We got to consecrate and say, Lord, you've called me as a son of God, and I thank you for that. You start working with that.
Amen.
And I'm not even past the first page where I'm going through. I got to get through some of this stuff. It is the steps of the uncertainty that develops the character in a husband and a wife. And it is the steps of uncertainty that will develop your life as a Christian.
Amen.
It's when your times, whenever you didn't feel God, and you're just moving forward. I'm going to tell you something, just as a quick testimony. I have been dealing with a pain in my groin area right here that was so bad it was hard for me to walk. And it's been going on for several months now. Or several months until a couple weeks ago. And it was to the point where I hurt. I mean, sometimes I think I need to go to the hospital with it. It just hurts so bad. And at the special meeting, Brother Ben Norrod, and Brother Ben Beard. I was sitting in the back seat next to Brother Tim Lane, and I was sitting there, and that pain come just as real and hard as it ever done, and it popped. I felt it pop, and like it just shot down my leg, and it hurt really bad to the bone. I almost fell out of the chair. I was like, oh my goodness, that hurt. And I kind of stood up, and I could barely walk. And it was time to open service up. I said, I come up and pray. Went to Brother Tony. I said, Brother, I said, I've had a pain in my deal, in my leg right here. I said, but I just felt it pop. I said, I felt it break loose. I don't know what it was. I said, it broke loose. I said, but my leg is real numb. I said, Brother, we ain't going to worry about that. We are here to serve God. I said, let's pray together. Brother Tony and I prayed together and said, Lord, thank you. Thank you for healing, and appreciate what you've done. And by His grace, that pain is gone. I'm talking 100% gone. I wasn't sitting back there focusing at it like a weapon, trying to get it to bust. I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just in the presence of the Lord. And in the presence of the Lord, I said, Lord, I thank you. And I remember I was just saying, Lord, I raised my hands up. I said, Lord, I thank you. You are so good. You are so amazing. Thank you for all that you do. In the midst of that, God took that thing away from me. A lot of time, brother and sister, we'll have supernatural things happen, and it's not because we're focused on it and making it happen. And I believe it's the same way with even the body change. It's not that we're focusing that I'm going to make this body change happen. It's something that's going to come within us. Let me show you something. When David was out there with the lion and the bear, you think David felt like, I feel like I'm Holy Ghost filled and I'm walking with the Lord and I'm fixing to destroy devils? I believe David was going to work just like we do. David was going to work. David had to take care of his sheep. And out of somewhere, a bear, a lion come through there. And David, not trying to use his intellect, said, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my stone. I'm going to get my sling. I'm going to kill this bear. It was nothing like that. I believe with all my heart, David had a natural reaction. He reached down in his soul and he grabbed and he went to work with what God had already equipped him with. He didn't even try to work it up with his mind. It was a natural reaction. Brother Tony, I believe Brother Tony said, we're going to pray right now. I don't think Brother Tony used his intellect and said, you know what, I'm going to use my mind and we're going to focus this. It was nothing like that. It was a natural reaction. We're going to pray about this. This thing's going down. Amen. Brother and sister, a lot of times we have faith and we don't feel like we have faith. A lot of times we are walking on a daily walk and we are walking by faith and we don't even realize that we're walking by faith. How many was that? When it come time for David to fight Goliath, whenever he was going to take bread to his brothers, David wasn't walking up there saying, you know what, I'm going to wake up, I'm going that way, I'm going to kill Goliath today. I'm going to go there, I'm going to slay a giant today. David didn't do that. David was going to go watch the sheep, and he said, David, take these cakes to your brothers. Oh, okay, yeah, great. I get to see my brothers. And David was doing a daily walk. David didn't know what he was doing, but David, on his daily walk, he hit a point in his life whenever he heard something of a Philistine defying the army of the living God, and something inside David just reached down and said, if you won't go fight him, I will. If you won't serve God, I will. If you won't hold the standard of holiness, I will. It's nothing you're trying to work up with your mind. It's something on the inside of the believer. Something inside you, when you see an uncircumcised Philistine trying to defy the army of the living God, there's something inside the believer says, if they won't live this message, I will. If they won't serve God like we've been called to serve God, I will. If they won't get them to vote and to reverence His name the way we're supposed to, I will. How many of you will? How many Davids we got tonight? But you know what? It's not using wisdom of you're trying to do of a Satan kind of wisdom. It is a faith. It is a faith in God. It's something that we already have inside of us, but it's by hearing the word on a daily basis. But we're walking under our calling. I believe David was anointed to kill the lion, the bear. I believe David was anointed to kill Goliath. And during your life, during your walk, brothers and sisters, you've killed giants. And you know you're giants. How many knows you're giants? This was a giant that was in my life, and the Lord delivered me from this enemy. God did that. It wasn't because you went out working up some kind of big faith. You were a son of God, a daughter of God, walking under your calling. You were called for it. You are called. Because God said, you are going to kill Goliath before the foundation of the world. Whenever God told the widow of Zarephath, said, I've commanded a woman of Zarephath, I've commanded a woman that's going to sustain thee, Elijah, you go over there. What was it? It was a child of God. That woman was called. She was called to feed a prophet and to open her home to a prophet. She was called for her brother and sister. From even the scriptures even says, I have commanded this woman to sustain thee. And I'm here to tell you, we have been commanded to sustain the message of the hour, the word, the voice of this hour. We've been commanded for it. But how many of you knew that? Rebecca was commanded to water the camels. Eliezer, whenever Eliezer went to go look for a bride for Isaac, he said, Lord, let the woman that you've chosen, let her be here to, let her water these camels. God, let this woman be the one. That woman, Rebecca wasn't going through there saying, you know what, I think I'll water some camels today. Rebecca wasn't walking through there and saying, you know what, I'm going to fulfill scripture today. She didn't do that. Rebecca was doing what Rebecca does. She was called and she didn't even know it. She was going through there and she said camels, and she didn't use her intellect. So you know what, this is what I probably need to do in order to be the bride. No, she was the bride, and that's why she did what she did. There was something that she just reached down into her heart and faith, and she watered those camels and watered a lot of water for camels. She was the bride. And wasn't she something she worked up? It was a God thing, brother and sister. And listen to me. Whenever each one of us, if you have heard this message and identify your heart to this message, whenever you responded to the call, you were called. When you heard that message and you said, my goodness, that's right. What was it? The call. God was calling into that. And the same camels that she watered took her all the way to meet Isaac. I'm here to tell you, that same call that we've had that responded to the word in the first place said, this is true. This is good stuff. That same call is going to take me all the way to my body change. I am going to take a body change. I believe that. I believe that. And because I believe it, it makes me excited. You know, we're going to Florida. That will excite me, but we're going to Florida. You know, I'll be with friends, but you know. And it's, you know, I believe it because there's room for excitement. I like. There's certain things about Florida I like, and a lot of things I don't like about Florida. Just put it that way. Okay? If you can get everybody away from you, focus on the water, the waves, I love it. It's the people with, you know. You know what I'm talking about. I believe I'm going in a body change, and because I believe it, it causes me to act different. And whenever we, but because we believe it, it causes us to live higher. It's not because of a bunch of rules, I believe it. I believe that Jesus Christ saved me in my sin, and that's why I don't walk in sin no more. You say amen? I believe it. I believe, and I have entered into a rest where I'm not worried if I'm a, whether I'm a Christian or not. I'm not worried whether I got the Holy Ghost. I know I got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And it excites me. Say amen?
Amen.
But then I remember when I worked at Planners, I was probably just as excited as this, or maybe a little more, I don't know. And the guy said, I was 21 years old probably. Man told me, he says, Daniel, I was where you're at right now. You give it 10 years, and you won't be doing that no more. Buddy, I got news for you. It's coming on 20 years. I never thought I'd be happy about coming on 40. I'm coming up on 40, and I am more happy today than I was then. You know why? Because thank God, God gave me a message, and it's a more of an understanding of knowing where I'm going. He's showing me more of who I am. You think about what they did in the Old Testament under the Lamb of just blood and bulls and goats, brother and sister. We got the blood of Jesus. Under the blood of bull and goats, Joseph walked a life so separated from the world. Catch this now. Joseph walked such a separated life from the world that people were absolutely amazed by it. And they would give him opportunities to sin. He said, I will not sin against my God. If he can serve God under the bulls and goats and serve God like that, how about us with the blood of Jesus Christ and a message of the hour? Whenever someone, whenever a temptation is brought before me, I say, I will not defy the name of God to do this. I will not put blemish to his name and do this nonsense. My God is a holy God, and he deserves my worship. And the way we worship him, brother and sister, is the way we live our life. Brother Tony's been preaching it over and over and over and over. That's that veil of the flesh that we're doing. We, on this side of the journey, we are coming, becoming that life that we're going to be for that flesh. I remember listening to Brother Brown, it's been a little while ago. He talked about a blade of grass that was struggling to live, hanging over a rock, and he said the thing was just struggling to live. He said, because that body was corrupted. He said, that's just evidence that there's another body somewhere that won't have to be a struggle in that no more. And here to tell you, whenever you've got a struggle inside this life or this old flesh just keeps holding me back from where I want to be, it's a travail. I'm having to push. God, help me put this thing under subjection. God, help me to be more like you. God, help me. And it's a travail. It's an evidence that the life inside you has got a body over there waiting on you. And you won't have to struggle with that body, brother and sister. I want my body. I'm getting sick of this old flesh. I was shaving this evening. You know what I began to see more of? Wrinkles. Boo. My wife would sit there once in a while and says, hey, babe, I see a white hair. She can do that for a little while. For too long, it's going to look bald. I'm going to start looking. Well, I won't call Brother Jim that. I won't call names like that. I wouldn't do that, brother. I like to give my brother Jim that, but you know what? I have to be careful because this right here is getting awful high. But you know what? I got a body. I ain't lost a one. Every one of them's on my other body over there. And brother and sister, one day at a time, walking by faith, I am going towards that body. You are going towards that body, brother and sister. And many times you feel like you ain't got faith, you got faith. Waddy, what is it that keeps you going? Brother Brown talks so many times. He said, the woman says, you know what? If it wasn't for my religion hold me back, I'd really give them a piece of my mind. He said, it ain't my religion keeping me. It's me keeping my religion. It's something inside me. Or my religion that keeps me, brother. I said, if it wasn't for me having to keep my religion, I would go do that. He said, but it's not me trying to keep my religion. It's my religion keeping me. It's something inside me. This word, this life that Christ has given me, it's captivated. I'm a prisoner. But I'm a good prisoner. I'm captive with it. It's not us that keeps us this walk, brother and sister. What is it that has allowed you to keep moving forward whenever everyone else is quitting? What is it? You have been called to be a worshiper. You have been called to be the elite of this hour. You know they call them the Navy SEALs because that's the elite. It's an elite class of people. But this elite class of people is something that God's been calling down through the ages, and it's always called the same way. It's a deep calling. Amen. I'm going to read a couple of quotes and then we'll be done. Listen to what Brother Brown says. He says, I want you to listen real close to what he says to this. No matter what the Branham Tabernacle ever turns out to be, catch this. No matter what the Branham Tabernacle ever turns out to be, don't you let it be you. You be a servant of Christ. No matter what the church world does, you be a servant of Christ. It's not up to Branham Tabernacle. Neither is it up to any other church. It's up to you as an individual to be ready at the coming of the Lord. You must be ready. I must be ready. I'll sweep my own steps. It's up to you to sweep your steps. I want you to catch that. It's up to you to sweep your steps. Leave mine alone. Me leave yours alone. You've got to make your garment ready. Amen. Brother and sister, we ain't going to be able, no one's going to point fingers at anybody else. It's our own responsibility with what we do with the word that's been given to us. Amen. And it's our responsibility to sweep our steps. It's not Brother Tony's job to get up every morning, come to our house and sweep our steps. Or to tell me, all right, Daniel, you need to read your Bible. You need to do that. It's not his responsibility to do that. It's my responsibility to do that. A couple more quotes and we'll be done. Some time ago, a minister was preaching, And there was a man who had been attending his church for, quite a lengthy time. And he came that morning up to the altar. And he said, "Pastor, I now wish to give my testimony and surrender to the Lord Jesus, which I have done last night." And the pastor said, "Well, I am sure glad to hear about that, John. To know that you have decided to finally come and give yourself to the Lord, because we don't want to hurt your feelings, but we know that you have been very wicked. And we know you have mistreated your family. You gambled away your money, you drank it up, and lived a horrible life, and your family went without. And it gives my heart joy this morning to know that you have come forward now and going to surrender yourself to the Lord Jesus to become a different person to serve Him." He said, "Thank you, Pastor." He said, "Then just what, I want to ask you something. What sermon did I preach? Or what text did I use? And or what song was sung in the church, in the hymns, that made you to decide to do this?" And as the man looked at him in the face with tears running off his cheeks, he said, "Pastor, it was none of your sermons, though as good as they were. It was none of the choir singing or the specials, though as good as they were." He said, "Then would you tell this congregation why you have made this decision?" He said, "I work with a man who is a Christian, and I've said everything to him. I called him a holy roller. I called him a religious fanatic and everything. It didn't bother him at a bit. But he lived such a life till finally in my heart, all along, he has won a place that I want to be just like that man. And that's the reason I asked him to lead me to Christ. I wanted the Christ that he serves." You see, God does work through the pastor to get his church ready. He works through the songs. He gets his church ready. He works through you to get his church ready. If your pastor would fail and continue to fail, you would hunt another pastor. Quickly, you would do that. If your choir didn't sing right or your solos wasn't right, you would say to the director, the one who has the music, "Don't let them sing no more. They just make me nervous to sing." But what about you as an individual? How do you fail in your daily living? How do you tally up with God? What God says for you to be, a shining light that sits on a hill, no one can pass that way. Well, around you away without knowing about Jesus. What type of life do you live? One of those types that's mean, insulting, and aggravating, indifferent? Or can you speak the peace and the love that you have found in Christ? Brother and sister, it is our life that we live. That whenever someone, it's not going to be the person that's mean, that's nice to you. It's not going to be the person that always says you're such a good person. It's whenever they will do you wrong. They will be degrading to you. They'll say things. They'll treat you in the way you know it's not right. They know it's not right. But it's in that moment of uncertainty, whenever you are walking by faith and you're saying, "Lord, have mercy upon that person. Lord, have mercy upon that person. Lord, help me with my temper, God. Help me not be upset with them. Help me not be that cactus." Lord, during that time, whenever you are just walking by faith in uncertainty, and you feel like, "I don't even know how I'm going to make it through this time of dealing with someone," let me tell you something. You deal with somebody that's over you, that is mean to you, it's hard. But brother and sister, in this testimony, he kept doing it. He said, "I called him about everything. I said about everything to that man." He said, "But he just spoke with peace. He spoke love to me. To the point, they said, you know what? I want to serve a God like that. Amen. I want to serve a God." And may God help us tonight. Let's all stand. May God help us in the time. Blessed are you when they say mean things and curse it, but curse you for his name's sake. Right. It's during those times, And whenever you're going through that press, brother and sister, that's whenever you are demonstrating the true character of what it is to be a Christian and what it is to possess Christ. Because we can have peace in the midst of calamity.
Amen.
We can have happiness. We can have joy. We can have brotherly kindness. Somebody needs some more of that. We need it. I need more of that. Lord, help me to have more joy. Help me to be more happy. Help me. You can tell it's a good thing, it's a bad thing. I'm very transparent. If I don't feel good, you probably don't know it. If I'm upset, you're going to know it. If I'm happy, you don't know it. Because there's something that's about me. It's a wonderful thing. But sometimes it's hard because even when you're going through that pressure time, you're so frustrated sometimes. You're like, Lord, I don't want to be frustrated right now. Help me during this time, Lord. Help me to have peace. Help me to present that joy. Help me to do that thing. And when you're doing that, you've got an enemy. Come here, son, just for a moment. Just for a moment. Now, if you were looking at this man and you could see me standing there and punching him in the stomach, and you see him squirming and making that, you would say, well, I kind of understand what he's going through. I understand because you see me punching him in the stomach. But a lot of times you'll see someone mad or an angry face on their face, but you don't see me punching him in the stomach. And that's the way it is with the devil, brother and sister. That devil will be punching your brother and sister over and over and over and over again. And we don't see that. All we see is their reaction of what they're going through at that moment. And that's what we have to remember. That's what we got to remember is our brother and our sister are on a battleground.
Amen.
And they are fighting a devil.
Amen.
And that's whenever we see them agitated, we see them frustrated, we see them doing that, we need to know enough about them. Just like in a marriage, we need to know that's not my brother. That's not my sister. They're going through something. And that's whenever we can go to pray and using faith. God, help my brother. Help my sister. Help them during this trial. And you'll start seeing them winning some battles. You know how they won their battles? Your prayers.
Amen.
My prayers. It's whenever we bear one another's burdens. Whenever we are walking as an army going forward, don't ever, listen to me, don't ever allow that devil to come through while we use this mouth right here to speak ill against our brother and our sister. Because Brother Brown said, if you use this tongue and you start talking bad about your brother, you may as well stab him in the back because you've killed their influence. Let's keep unity in this church. Let's keep unity in this army. Don't allow that devil to make you think anything bad about your brother or sister at all. And if it ever does, brother and sister, let's get down on our knees and seek God. Say, Lord, help me to not ever see that. Even if they do you wrong. Lord, help me to pray. Brother Branham had the men that did what they did to the tent to him. They stole the tent over the area. Who knows what I'm talking about? Brother Branham got on his knees and Lord, help me. Because Brother Branham did not want to allow any bad feelings towards them brothers. God, help us to do that.
Amen.
Because there will be times. A lot of times, Lord, God will give you a sermon because something's coming. Put this in your tool belt.
Right.
Whenever there comes times, don't let this mouth say anything negative.
Amen.
Let it always be positive.
Amen.
Amen. Let's just bow our heads. And let's just search our hearts tonight. Just for a moment. Father, I ask you that you would help this little congregation, the people that are under the sound of my voice tonight. Help us to walk by faith, Lord, not by wisdom. Whenever I say wisdom, not of a Satan kind of wisdom, because there is a godly wisdom that we want, and your prophet spoke about it. But Lord, help us to have a love for one another, an atmosphere around one another. Lord God, that when the life that we're living, that somebody else will want what we have. That we have something real, something solid, Lord. I ask you that you would walk the aisle tonight, Lord. That you would knock on every heart, Lord. That give us all, each one of us, a fresh opportunity to recommit ourselves to you, Lord. Say, Lord, help me. Lord, whenever we go to 40 in the next few days, God, I'm asking you, Lord. As I'm on the sand on the beach, Lord. If I'm on the pier, God. Around other men talking, Lord. I'm asking you, Lord, anoint our life, Lord, in such a way, Lord, that people will see there's something different about this man. Because it's not us, it's your spirit, Lord. When these sisters go to the grocery store, Lord, if they go to their lost, wayward loved ones, Lord, may they go under the calling of your word, Lord. Of a soldier that's been called, Lord. Because when a soldier's called, they're backed up by whoever called them. And Lord, you have called us as your children, Lord. And that means whenever we walk in obedience to your word, you will back us up. You will back up what we say as long as we're using your word and we're doing what you told us to do, God. Help us, God. I ask you, Lord, anoint these parents, Lord. Anoint myself, Lord. Lord, give us the burden that we won't ever allow our children to keep slipping away without us sighing and crying and saying, God, bring them back. Lord, if there be sick, the sin that tries, or sickness that tries to creep in the church, God, Lord, may we sigh and cry to you, Lord, and Lord, till everything is boiled out by that divine love, Lord. God, I ask you, Lord, walk the aisle tonight, Lord. Search our heart, Lord. Search my heart, Lord. Lord, bless our pastor, Lord, as he leads us, Lord. Help him to hold that sword straight, Lord, and to not shy from it, Lord, but to always tell us the truth, Lord. Help us, Lord God. Lord, I ask you, bless every person listening to the sound of my voice. Go to their homes, even now, Lord. Help us to consecrate ourselves in Jesus' name. I want to have more of that fruit of that spirit.
Amen.
I want to be bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. I won't try to sing that song, but one of these days I probably will. Bubbling, bubbling, bubbling. Brother Tony, what happened? Let's turn this over to you, brother. Anybody else has need? Anyone has need of prayer? You just come forward. You gotta pray with
you. Amen. I mean, you can say amen.
Amen.
You know the devil's got us in his crosshairs. Mm-hmm. And you know, like I said a few weeks ago, it won't stay in the way it is. Things are changing. And, you know, we're going to be met with things that are going to come. And it's during those times, like Brother Daniel was saying, that when you get punched in the kidneys. I remember whenever I was first calling my dad, never met him before, and I had it all planned out exactly what I was going to say until he got on the phone, and my plan went out the window.
Yeah.
Brother Dan was telling about Brother Jason Parker going up to see Brother Lonnie Jenkins, which a wonderful brother has gone on to be with the Lord. Had all his questions lined out, got a chance, a rare chance, to sit with this brother, and Brother Lonnie asked him what was on his heart, and he said, he lost all his questions. He couldn't say nothing.
Yeah.
Because when things catch you off guard, when Brother Daniel came back to the other day and told me what he did about his leg, see, I didn't have time for intellect. I didn't have time for reason. There was no time for the devil to come up there and say this or say that. I just responded off inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Something was already there that I wasn't focusing on. I didn't know this was going on, but I just, you know. So when these things happen, you want something to draw from that's not your intellect.
That's right.
Not just an intellectual, well, the message says this or the message says that, but you want an anointing that you can draw from that's him, that he's there, where he can just step forth and say, Brother Tony, let me take care of this.
Yes.
Right? Because that's the way I look at it. Because I know the times that I prayed for people and they were on their deathbed and God raised them up, I knew it wasn't me. And you understand that too. And so, within the last two or three weeks, I've listened to the sermon, Wisdom versus Faith, two or three times. I didn't tell Brother Daniel that I had, but it sounds like he has too. But you know, it doesn't matter. I've mentioned this a few days ago. I talked about the silver tip grizzly. And that's why I said it was because of this sermon. When Bud Southwick and they were looking, could see 3 miles around, and there wasn't nothing but moss about that high off the ground. And Bud said, Brother Branham, where is he coming from? A 9-foot silver-tipped grizzly bear. I can see he's not there. Where is he coming from? Brother Branham said, it didn't matter. It doesn't matter. God said it. Because
yes.
You realize God can speak into existence anything he wants to. So I don't care, I think I may have mentioned it. You see the missiles coming, just stand still and watch what God will do, right? Because he's promised it. It doesn't matter what you see. When Elijah or Elisha, whichever one it was, that saw all the armies all outside, you know, and he said, open that boy's eyes, and he could see the mountains full. See, it doesn't matter what you see, what you feel, what you hear in the natural. It doesn't matter. What matters is God's word, God's promise to you. And we've got to come into that place where that's what we hang to, no matter what. It doesn't make no difference what the flesh or reason it says. Because if you get on that ground, then Satan's going to win that. He said, the guy said, well, I know my limitations. Well, no, he doesn't, because when he said that, he already passed them.
Yeah.
He had already passed his limitations just to say that and just to think that. And so, you know, I feel sorry for people like that.
Yeah.
Brother Daniel was talking about being in a desert and so forth. And I've noticed in this little dry spell we had, the plants I have in the garden, beautiful plant, beautiful leaves. But in this dry weather, those leaves curled up into what if they kept curling even more, it looked like they'd turn into a thorn. Because they kept, why? Because they didn't have anything to give out. Right? When they got plenty of moisture, they can drink in plenty, then they can give out a lot. And that's the way we become. If we don't stay connected and stay in the Word and in fellowship with Christ, we become, our leaves begin to curl up instead of being able to give out. And we want to be able to give out. That's the desire of a Christian heart, is to be able to give out something, give something to those that need. I work with a man that came to me a couple of days ago. He's a deacon in the church, and his church is going through a real rough time right now. And he came to me because he just said, I want to talk to you about it, you know. And he had something he saw there with me that made him feel better. He was, you know, crying and telling me, he didn't tell me the detail, but just basically the Lord had spoke to him. And he was worried about what the Lord had said. So, you know, you want to be there so they have something they can draw from.
Mm-hmm.
How many knows that you've had a giant, at least one giant in your life that is already dead?
Yes.
Yeah.
I have several.
Yes.
I have giants that at one time I thought I would never survive them. I thought I'd never get free from them.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I would die with them afflicting me, and they're dead. At the time, I didn't feel like they would ever go away. But I do remember just quoting God's word and thanking Him for delivering me and setting me free and making me an overcomer to those things. It depends on what it is. Because sometimes you don't want to say, Lord, just take this from me. But sometimes it's something you have to say, Lord, make me an overcomer. Help me to overcome this, rather than him just to take it away or whatever. There's different things. But we have those giants, and it makes no difference how big they are, how long you've dealt with them. God's promises said they're going to fall. And we've already experienced that enough to know that. He's mentioning Rebecca. You know, a camel, I looked it up, a camel can drink about 20 gallons of water. That's 166 pounds of water. So, 20 gallons. And it said camels, so there was more than one.
Yeah.
So who knows how many? Let's say a camel train. Let's say it was four camels, maybe. However much it took to travel. They had to travel with their goods and everything. So this was hundreds and hundreds of pounds of water.
Yeah.
Maybe perhaps 100 gallons of water that she drew out of that well. Look at her character. Now that, as Brother Daniel said, she watered the camels that packed her into the presence of her husband.
Yes.
And this message, right, this message,
yes,
is what packs us into the presence of our Savior and our husband, Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
And we as the bride are watering this message. We're watering this camel, right, this camels. And what if she would have said, well, if it was only one camel, I might do it.
Uh-huh.
But I'm not watering four or five camels. That's just too much. But you see, she didn't do that.
No.
Would sister, if somebody wanted you, would you draw that much water out of your swimming pool? Huh? Probably not. You think you're crazy if you think I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But she did it.
That's right.
So see, she had already been commanded, like the widow woman. I have commanded her to sustain me there.
Yeah.
She didn't even know it. She had been commanded, and you've been commanded to water this message, water these camels that are going to take you to see your husband and be with your husband.
That's right.
Amen. I'm glad that she didn't say, well, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
because then that would be not a very good time for you and I. So I said all that to say this about Rebecca. It doesn't matter to us how hard we have to work, how long we have to preach this message, how long we have to water it. It doesn't matter. Whatever it is, we're going to do it.
Amen.
Because it's going to take us.
Amen.
So we really appreciate what Brother Daniel had to share there. We'll sing I Love Him just for a brief moment here in key of A, and then we'll let you be dismissed. Amen. How many do love the Lord? Thank you.